on our message folder and also among your responses on our YouTube page. I find a lot of demand for an episode of Cut the Clutter on the National Family Health Survey, the latest one, which looks at the period of 2019 to 21, the latest, very up-to-date one. And all of you know the headlines. So I've been wondering what to do. Last couple of days, I've been traveling far away in Meghalaya, in Shillong, from where I had done yesterday's episode of Cut the Clutter. So I've been wondering, what is it that is left that maybe I can make interesting for you, or that maybe I could simplify for you? Now, you know, first of all, the big headline. The big headline is that our total fertility rate has now gone down to 2. 2 means we are now below the replacement level. When it's about 2.1, which means a woman in her fertile years produces an average of 2.1 children, that is, 10 women will produce 21 children, that is your replacement level. Once you come below that, it is below replacement level. Replacement level means when more babies are being added, more human beings are being added to your population, then are being taken away by God Almighty or whoever does that job. So, what does it mean? First of all, this is something that we've been saying for a long time. I've been writing this for the past many years, but some of this was anecdotal because you saw it as you were traveling across the country, including and particularly in the Hindi heartland, because you saw that more and more women were going to school. And they were going to school at least for their early years. They were not all getting graduated, or they were also not all finishing class 10 or 12, but they were going to school and becoming literate. That was delaying the marriage age. That was also making them aware of the possibilities and need for contraception facing their children. And you could see that this socio-political change would, there was no way it was not going to reflect in our birth rates in a positive way. So I, for one, for the past 10-15 years, have never bought into this Malthusian nightmares that India's population will go to 200 crores at some point and people will be crawling all over and we'll not know what to do. In fact, we've done 2 episodes of Cut the Clutter in the past saying just this based on some reports. And the more significant of that was a report from The Lancet that showed that India's population will be increasing at a much smaller rate than the alarming figures or data people had put out. People have been asking for a population law. People have been asking for a birth control law. Now you see India is reaching a very interesting stage where India will be aging. So India is right now in the danger of losing its demographic dividend because India is going to be aging, but India's population is not going to grow that fast. So with 2.0, you would say, oh, India's population should now be declining. So why should our population still be increasing? The fact is that today, international estimates are from international population think tanks and researchers that till 2050, India's population will keep on increasing. Even with this replacement rate of 2.0, it will reach about 160 crores and then it will begin to decline. It will begin to decline. So by the end of this century, 2100, India's population will be down to 1.4 billion. That is again a study on which we had done an earlier episode of Cut the Clutter, which showed us that global population will increase, but most of that increase will come from Africa going ahead. Now, if you ask me, on the basis of what's happened so far, I will not be surprised if we Indians prove even this prediction wrong, that by 2050, we'll peak at 160 crores. Maybe we'll peak earlier, because what is 2.0 now also has some figures within it, which I'll tell you about. And if those areas are addressed, and looks like some of those are being addressed, then our population growth rate can come down even lower. And that can maybe halt it. I can't put any numbers to it because I'm not a statistician. I'm not a population scientist. I'm no scientist of any kind. But the fact is that India, people of India, have beaten all kinds of notions and the worst kind of beliefs and ideas about India's population growth completely. They've proven them all wrong because people of India are smart. And once you give them a little bit of education, a little awareness, they know what's good for them. They don't want to have 5 children, 6 children, 8 children, 10 children. And please do not bring in the religion angle, because there is some data that I will tell you that will tell you that will prove to you how counterintuitive the facts are. Now, as I told you, within this larger figure of 2.0, that is the total fertility rate for all of India, lie some interesting figures. And those tell us a story. Now, look at who are the worst and who are the best. The worst in this case is higher is bad, lower is good. That means states which produce the largest number of babies. So once again, usual suspect, Bihar 3.0. But Bihar also, compared to the previous round, that is 15-16 survey, is down from 3.4 to 3.0. So Bihar has also made an improvement, but it is a champion on the wrong side, right? It's a very crowded state, very poor state. It's a state where chief minister has tried to get more women into school, but this has helped, but not adequately. Once again, Meghalaya. Meghalaya has among the highest fertility rates in the country. Now, this is a function of many things, but Meghalaya is a small state, so overall, it doesn't bring that much weightage to our national data. Uttar Pradesh. Uttar Pradesh has made an improvement, but is still above the national average. Uttar Pradesh, is 2.4, but it was 2.7 in the last round, so there is an improvement. Jharkhand, 2.3 now. Still above the national average, but improvement over the last time, which is 2.6. And then you look at some other states. If you look at Bimaru states, that is Bihar, Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh, then some interesting factors. Rajasthan is 2.0, which is exactly the national average, right? Not bad for a poor state, poor large state. Madhya Pradesh, exactly 2.0, and they've both come down from 2.2 to 2.3 respectively. So once again, on an average over India's population, Bihar and Rajasthan are not adding any more weight. Most of the weight is coming from Bihar, Uttar Pradesh, Jharkhand. And if I might put it that way, Bihar and Jharkhand are part of the old Bimaru formulation, because Bihar and Jharkhand were one state earlier. Now, this is good news and bad news. Bad news is that India's largest states by way of population are even now way above the national average in terms of total fertility rate. But the other side of the coin, or the other half of the glass, which is full, which is that these states are also making an improvement. And when these states make an improvement, all of the country makes an improvement, because between Bihar and Uttar Pradesh, you have nearly 1/4 of all of India's population. So when they improve a little bit, which means when their birth rates decline a little bit, all of India benefits. That's the reason, because I'm optimistic about the Hindi heartland. And I think UP and Bihar will improve dramatically over the next 10-15 years. Chances are that even these scenarios of India's population reaching 1.6 billion or 160 crores by 2050 and then peaking there will not come true. I suspect that India's population will peak much earlier and at a lower level. Now, what do we base it on? We don't know whether we'll be proven right or wrong. We don't need to wait till 2050. I think another few years, there will be another NFHS. Also, India's census data will come. And when that comes in, I'm telling you now, I'll wager some money on this, that India's progress in population control will be much better than before. Now, there are some other interesting data points here. As I said, detailed data within that larger figure or the envelope figure of 2% of national total fertility rate. Now look at Punjab, among the lowest in the country. The lowest 5 in the country are Punjab. I will not tell you the second lowest, which is actually joint with Punjab. I'll keep that as a surprise. So Punjab is 1.6%. Too few Punjabis are being produced. That means over time, the overall number of Punjabis will start declining much faster than rest of India's population. So in a way, as a percentage of India's population, Punjabis, who are already a small population, will become less, only 1.6. That is way below replacement level. Maharashtra at number 3, from the tops, lower the better. That's how tops. Maharashtra is 1.7. Maharashtra again is a very large state. the second largest state in India by way of population and by way of the number of MPs it sends to parliament. It's sort of a level with Bihar or thereabouts. Maharashtra, 1.7%. Again, below replacement levels. Maharashtra and Punjab have both remained steady. Maharashtra has improved from 1.9% to 1.7%. Fantastic. Punjab has remained steady, 1.6 to 1.6. I mean, it's a rare situation where Punjabis seem to be satisfied with their fate. So 1.6, 1.6. I've still not told you about the second place state which shares the position with Punjab, because that is where the big interesting surprise lies. Then Karnataka, again 1.7. Andhra Pradesh 1.7, both have improved from 1.8. So these states with large populations, Andhra Pradesh, Karnataka, Maharashtra and Punjab, not such a large population but not a small state, all of these are now producing babies or adding less people to India's population than India's average is. And that average, as I told you, is being sort of skewed, or that average is being kept at 2% because by Bihar, UP, Jharkhand, etc. Now, what was the state bracketed with Punjab at the top spot in the lowest five? Lowest five means the states with the lowest population growth or lowest total fertility rate. That will be a surprise. That state is West Bengal. So West Bengal is exactly the same as Punjab. That is 1.6% total fertility rate. It was 1.8. It's come to 1.6. So it's got better. So Bengal, but compare this with the stereotype. The stereotype is too many Bengalis. Bengal's population is burgeoning. That Bengal is getting poorer and poorer. Also, there is a second stereotype that Bengal, for all major states in India, has the largest Muslim population in the country. So the other stereotype is Muslims produce too many babies. But the fact is, if one in three Bengalis is Muslim and Bengal's total fertility rate is only 1.6%, compared to Bihar's, which is 3.0%, which does not even have half as many Muslims by way of percentage, in fact, less than half as West Bengal, it tells you that population growth has very little to do with religion. Once again, when I tell you that Meghalaya's population growth is very high, you might say, oh, that's because of church's influence, right? But look at some other states. Look at Goa. Goa is now 1.3%. There'll be too few Goans soon enough. 1.3% is really like European countries, right? And Kerala. Kerala itself is 1.8%, and I would say mercifully, they have improved from 1.6 to 1.8, because these are well-organized states. Their population has been declining too fast and their population has been aging too fast. These are the important facts and data that lie behind the main headline of National Family Health Survey. Then you see some other interesting things. For example, all over the country, there is an improvement in the number of female babies at birth. So that number has gone from 919 to 929. At the same time, quite surprisingly, the total number of women compared to men has gone to 1,020. That means there are 1,020 women to every 1,000 men in the country. So there are more women than there are men in the country for the first time. That's big news, and that's a big story and a happy story. In the last survey, there were 991 women to 1,000 men. So over 1,000 men, there was a shortfall of 9. Now there's a surplus of 20. Now how does that happen? You might ask me, but only you said there's an improvement in the ratio of female babies or babies at birth among for females. That is 929 from 919. So there may be a marginal improvement, but they are still much fewer than boys produced. So how come? So a very simple data point, women live longer than men. So generally, women in India on an average live about 3 years longer than men. Why do they do so? Why do men die a little bit earlier? You figure out. And once you do a data analysis of causes of death in India, you will also know that we men have to get our act together. We have to get a little more disciplined. So overall population, since men die on an average 3 years earlier than women, now there are more women than men. Now there are some of the interesting facts which have come out in this survey, which is that India is now getting a 1-2 punch, right? And what is a 1-2 punch? Ek mara, phir ek aur mara, right? As you're reeling under one, you get one more in boxing. Now, this 1-2 punch is, in India, anemia is going up for men, women, pregnant women, young women, old women, children, everybody. Anemia is going up, which means malnutrition is going up. At the same time, obesity is going up. That's the reason I said it's a 1-2 punch. Now, obesity in 1921 has gone up by 4 percentage points in India compared to the 15-16 data. So both for women and men, and you will see data on my screen, obesity has gone up in all age groups. But also worrying thing is the hip to waist ratio or waist to hip ratio, because that determines the state of your overall health and also the risk of many health challenges, particularly to heart and metabolic disorders. So among women today, when it comes to high risk waist to hip ratio, for women in India now, the percentage is 56.7, terrible. And for men, not much better, it's 47.7. So this is time now that at least we start walking, exercising, watching how much carbs do we eat, how much rice or how much roti do we eat, but more importantly, how much exercise or physical work we do, because this is now becoming a major public health challenge in India. Now, obesity is going up across the board in almost all the states, but anemia, look at the overall anemia figures in India. Children under 5, 67.1% are anemic. That is terrible, because that is the most crucial period in a child's life. In fact, it's things like this that give India very poor ratings on the global hunger index. What is called hunger index, we keep telling you, is actually global nutrition index or global malnutrition index. So 67% of India's children under 5 are anemic. Remember that line from Indivar in the film Upkar, jis desh ka bachpan bhooka ho, fir uski jawani kya hogi? To bhook hi hai. This is how our country's young people are starving. They are not starving for roti and rice. They are starving for micronutrients and vitamin A, vitamin B. Yes, all of those are important, but iron is the biggest single threat to our health going ahead. So 67% children under 5 are anemic. In the previous survey, they were 58.6. So this has gotten worse. Again, if you look at women between 15 to 49 age group, 57% are now anemic, and that's when they produce the next generation of Indians, because this is their reproductive age. 15 to 49 age group, 57% are anemic. In the last survey, it was 53%. So it's gotten worse. Again, if you look at women between 15 and 19 years old, 59% are anemic. It was 54% earlier. So this has also gotten worse. Men in the 15 to 49 age group, 25% are anemic. It was 22.7 earlier. Again, men in the age group of 15 to 19, 31% are anemic. That means 1 in 3 of our teenagers are anemic. Then you say, how come our sporting records are not very good? Our athletic distances and timings are so poor. Why are more Indians not participating in sport? Why do Indians look so scrawny when we go to the countryside? That's because 1 in 3 of India's teenagers are anemic. This was also 29.2, so this has also gotten worse. But behind all this, there is also a silver lining. We must not miss that, because some of the poorest states, that is Bihar, Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh, all of them have made improvements on the anemia score. They still have very high rates of anemia, but they've all made small improvements. So we are all hoping that this rate of improvement will now pick up as we go ahead.